Hi there, Zinnies. Thanks for tuning in. So right now, I want to talk to the ladies out there. So this is a video specifically for the women. And so I want to talk about friendships among women. Many of you out there know that I am a systems dynamic relationships oriented person. And one of my main goals as a practitioner is to help people have the best relationships in their lives across the board that they can have. And so for many women, the sisterhood, the circle of friends is an integral part of their lives. And I've learned a lot from working with women. When examining relationships among women who are friends, it's quite common for the women to adopt roles that may be akin to those found in familial relationships. There's usually a friend who is more of a caretaker, looks out for everyone else in the group, and she's the person that the others go to for comfort when facing uncertainty or a crisis. So she's usually a sort of first responder when something happens, be it good or bad. And she makes sure that everyone is okay, and she's the first to help out when something's not okay. And so for this friend, we will call her the mother. So there's several different types of friends that we're gonna go through, and hopefully you'll be able to identify which friend you are. So now, the second type of friend that I want to speak about is the self-centered friend. Every woman has had or has this friend. She only cares about herself and what she wants. Sometimes this type of friend will be covert, and at other times she's very overt with her self-concern. It's typical for this type of friend to fail to consider how her friends may be negatively impacted by her self-centeredness. However, this type of friend oftentimes tends to be a little bolder due to their hedonistic ways. Therefore, this friend tends to be exciting, which is the main reason the other friends keep this person around and rarely call her out on her self-centeredness, because they value her bold sense of self and ability to have fun under any circumstances. Now, the next type of friend is sort of a difficult type to navigate and talk about, but here it goes, we'll do it anyway. So, the next type of friend is the victim. And truthfully, in female relationships, there's always a friend who, at least in their own mind, seems to be a little worse off than others, and she always seems to be going through a crisis of some sort. While trouble can visit upon any person, this friend seems to live their lives going from crisis to crisis to crisis and back around to crisis again, be it an organic crisis or a crisis of her own creation. Now, when you look at this from a psychological perspective, this friend is probably tolerated because she's usually the issue that others can rally around and protect. And so in a lot of ways, it empowers the people around her. She also allows her friends to feel stable and balanced, whether or not they truly are, because she's their primary object of comparison. Now, the fourth type of friend that we want to speak about is the achiever. Every person, really male or female, but typically in female relationships, every woman has a friend who's a high achiever. This woman typically sets high goals and has very high standards and achieves all of her goals. Her process for achieving these goals often to others appears seamless, but her demonstration of hard work and determination cannot be denied. And so therefore, her friends are often inspired to set goals, partly because they desire to be worthy of her friendship or either emulate her success. And it's important for people to not dehumanize the achiever and recognize that although she sets goals and achieves them, that she still deserves the same nurturing and compassion and concern that the victim gets from the friend group. And also, the achiever has to be sort of prompted to allow herself to be the focus, because oftentimes it's the work, the duty of the achiever that she's focused upon and not herself. And so this is where taking a page out of the Self-Centered Friends book can come in handy, because the achiever has to learn that she needs nurturing and she has to advocate for the people around her to be able to give her what she needs and desires, despite the fact that she may appear to have it all. Now, the next friendship type that I'd like to discuss is the villain. Now, like the self-centered friend, this friend is mostly concerned about her own wants. But unlike the self-centered friend, she is rarely upfront about this, and she tends to engage in gossip and other backbiting, backstabbing behaviors. The motives of this type of friend can be muddled. On the one hand, she engages in treacherous behavior for her own benefit. However, she typically engages in malicious behaviors simply because she can, and there's no one stopping her or calling her out on it. There's no need for a payoff. This is just her personality. Women often tolerate this type of woman as a friend or frenemy because they may need to periodically utilize her unique skill set. For example, making others feel bad, insignificant, manipulating others, being a partner in crime, someone to help enact revenge, etc. So oftentimes she's kept around for people to use her skill set to their own advantage. Women as a whole often contribute to the lives of their friends by acting as liaisons in other areas such as romance, career, and parenting. In friendships among women, women seek advice about romance as well as get introduction to potential partners from other women. Women tend to seek friendships with women who have similar interests or live similar lives. And as a result, they tend to trust the judgment of these women when it comes to personal issues regarding partnering, parenting, profession, finances. For example, a woman may seek parenting advice from a friend that they deem to be a really good parent, or even comfort from a friend who's faced similar parenting challenges, because they value the advice of the person that seems to be doing it right and getting great results with their kid, and also the advice of the person who's faced some struggles with their children and is coming out on the other side. So as far as career and profession goes, it's common for women to seek support, advice, and to some degree validation from their female friends and colleagues. And so that's why it's really important for women to be supportive of one another where professional and career goals are concerned, because oftentimes they face challenges that men do not face in the workplace. You know, research indicates that women oftentimes feel really alienated at work, especially in male-dominated fields. And I know being here in Houston that I hear all the time from women in the oil and gas industry, especially, or construction and engineering, that they often feel they're proving themselves over and over and over again. And that even if they're in charge of projects, they find that in meetings that their male counterparts are usually deferred to as if they're invisible. and it can be quite hurtful and dehumanizing on some levels. So therefore, women often find camaraderie with female coworkers and search for that camaraderie in female-dominated professions such as teaching and nursing. And this occurs because women feel that other women are much more likely to understand their issues and are not only there to support their professional goals, but will actively participate in their advancement through providing recommendations, improving their competency and sharing knowledge, and actually promoting them. Now, on the flip side of that, many women report that there are feelings of increased competition because they are A, more likely to compete with other women for positions, and B, women, much like men, can be cliquish and may actively work against a woman they feel no sense of camaraderie with. And as a result, the professional life of a woman can be quite unstable. Yet, they're still more likely to seek the advice of other women who have successfully navigated the professional ocean of waves. Now, from a familial perspective, women often dominate, beginning with the matriarchs and the archetype of the mother, and in many cases, the grandmother. These figures typically set the tone for how the family will be governed. And you see this a lot in families. The saying, happy wife, happy life, or what mom says goes. It just shows that this is, of course, due to the historical prominence of women in the home as caregivers. And a caregiver, a true caregiver, holds a lot of power because so many people are dependent upon the nurturer for their overall well-being and emotional health. So you can see how there's a strong psychological tie to the archetypal imagery of a mother or grandmother, that nurturer. Women were, and to a large degree, still are the people that everyone in the family refers to for certain types of guidance. And it's often the female relationships in the family that help shape the identity of a girl as she grows into a woman. I know personally speaking, in my own family, I'm the youngest of three daughters, and my sisters, like my mother and my paternal grandmother, played huge roles in my life. You know, both my mom and dad came from families that are headed up by women, and as with most people, it was through them that a large part of my personal identity was formed. You know, I was treated like the little baby that could, if that makes any sense, or little big sister. So they saw me like that and they supported me like that. And if I wanted to do something, everyone was like, well, okay, how can we help her and how can we support her? Because we know that she's going to try. So let's try and help her succeed. And so to some degree, there was the role of varying hierarchies in my relationships in the family across the board, but particularly with the women or females in my family. But there was always a constant commitment to overcoming barriers for the benefit of every person involved. And that's continued in my life professionally as well. I like to advocate for people to overcome barriers and challenges that they may feel somehow burdened by, but with just a little bit of guidance and a whole lot of support and cheering on, I wholeheartedly believe that there's not a person out there that can't be whatever it is they want to be or achieve what they want to achieve. And my relationship with the women in my family has helped me be able to navigate friendships and maintain friendships over the course of many decades. I learned the importance of being supportive of other women, to view them and their perspectives as worthy, and to help women see the beauty in themselves from the inside out. And so when I think about women, and I mean the collective experience of women, I just feel inspired. And even though I went over those types of friends that exist within the sister circle, you know, each one of those types has their value. And it's not up to me nor anyone else to set out to change that person. In friendships, it's important that we help one another grow and evolve. But part of healthy growth and healthy evolvement is acceptance, accepting a person where they are and recognizing which type or archetype you fit into as a friend and that your friends fit into as a friend, so that our expectations can be realistic, our relationships authentic, and so that we can increase the way we help one another and spur one another on. You know, we live in an age where women are advancing yet still facing issues: body image, sexuality, independence, identity, issues that apparently characterize the entire female experience. And so I remind myself that the collective experience of women is one of a collective struggle. Whether the woman is a traditional wife and mother, a cool young hipster committed to an alternative lifestyle, a working single mother, a woman in a same-sex partnership or marriage, or a trans woman, we're all seeking to find a place in this world and make an impact of some kind. And we must all consider the collective resolve and resilience of women. I just find it inspiring. You know, how does the song go? With a little help from friends, we should add a line: with a little help from friends and my really good therapist.